Okay,
Thank
with
you.
that, I'll call the order of the privatization committee. It's Monday, July 11th, and it's 6:47. And we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the Republic which stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, and you've got the agenda in front of you. Well, let me do the roll call. Jack Walsh here. Not here. Charlie Sampson.
Present.
Chris Carlone. Not here. John Sacchew.
Here.
James DeMeo.
Present.
Maria Conlon. Not here. Dennis Kosenkos is on vacation. Anita Degato.
Here.
Okay, so we have a quorum. Public portion, is there anyone from the public who would like to speak? Second time, anyone from the public? Third time, anyone from the public? Hearing none, I'd ask for a motion to close the public portion.
So moved, Charlie Sampson.
Do I hear a second? Second by James, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, abstained, public portion is closed. And I would ask for a motion now to change the order of the agenda for move number 6 up to number 5, because our consultant is here. Could I have that motion?
So moved.
Okay, do I hear a second?
Second, Charlie.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, abstained. All right, we got all the nonsense out of the way. And Anita, for your benefit, Mark Rodriguez is the consultant. And we just had an informal discussion to start. And he gave us the background that you saw in the resume that was submitted and a little bit more. And we're just starting to talk to him about questions that people on the committee had. And just to update you, they are available to do this. The general time frame would be 4 to 8 weeks, but could be sped up if needed. So I think that gets you up to speed. And Mark, thank I interrupted you, so I'll go back to you now.
Sure, I appreciate it. Anita, it's nice to meet you. I did a little blurb on myself and availability of our firm to be able to support this project, and they had asked me if how favorably I looked on the RFP, and this is something I'm excited to participate in. So I'm interested in working in this project with you guys. So with that said, the scheduling, I think 4 to 8 weeks. When you're negotiating with the bidder, I just want to understand what my role would be. Is this something that I would do just give an appraisal or a value of and then step away, or is this something that you would be interested in us to participate in some of the negotiations with you and help you maximize your value, or what is the full, or maybe you don't even know the full role or the role here, but I was just curious on where it begins and ends, and how you've envisioned the position to be used.
That's a good question. We haven't had that discussion. This started as the basis, that Aquarian had done all the due diligence on their end and read all the materials, they had site visits and et cetera. So they're well armed what they think is the value in their proposal. We haven't had time to do that all our due diligence, other than obviously from the privatization study. You saw a lot of background information, but that background information does not contain the valuation that we need.
Sure.
You raised the question of helping with the negotiations. I think that could be a reasonable thing to bring into this. But again, let me open it up to other committee members.
Yeah, I know. So this is James DeMeo. I know my view is that have you come in, appraise our system as it is. And then again, depending on how that appraisal comes out, I do think that there may be option for negotiations after that point, or you're utilizing your services for some negotiations. I don't know if it would really go much past that.
Okay.
At least that's my thinking. I don't speak for everybody, but that's at least where I'm at.
Yeah, no, that seems like a reasonable approach. And you know, I'd offer up our services. We'd be available, you know, to participate in as you need us, you know, in the process there. I have participated in many different aspects of privatizations and valuations and negotiations, you know, with regard to mergers, acquisitions, dispositions. So this is something that I know that I can provide, you know, some benefits to when I take a look at and you know, review the assets. Once I get my arms around the project, then, you know, the numbers start falling together to me. So I'm able to, you know, take that, put it in paper and kind of convey, you know, what we look at as far as valuation. So, you know, in valuation, we look at three different approaches to value. We look at the cost approach, we look at the market approach, and we'll look at the income approach. And all three of these approaches to value should converge onto one, you know, number that's the reconciled or conclusion of value. And when you look at these three approaches, they all look at different aspects of it. I don't know how familiar you guys are on the you know, valuation process, but the cost approach stands on the valuation date. You know, if we pick a date, we're going to value it as of a certain date. The cost approach stands on that date and looks backwards and says, okay, what is here and what is valued, you know, as of that date. The income approach stands on that date and looks forward and says, well, what is the value in the future? What is the revenues and the expenses and the net income in the future? And then present values that back to today to come up with an income approach value. And the market approach looks at what other sales of wastewater systems have sold for in the marketplace, and you know, and you do some analysis on a dollar per customer or a dollar per, you know, some comparison, a quantity that you can come up with that is reasonable. So I will tell you that, you know, most of the time, and I'm not saying it's here, but you know, most of the time the cost and the income approach in these types of transactions are the predominant approaches. And the market approach is used as a check, just because, you know, these transactions are so unique that it's hard to it's challenging for someone to make all the appropriate comparisons in a system. You guys know how unique your system is and the issues and quirks you have with your system, and trying to compare that to another one used as a market comparable is a little bit more challenging than it's mainly used this that approach of value for residential homes, you know, a four bedroom home sold for this, and you look comparison. So the cost and the income approach are the two predominant approaches to value in a utility transaction such as this.
So question. So Mark, well, we talk about word negotiations. So what does negotiation like this look like? Is it more like a back and forth of using your value systems to justify numbers and appraisals that you came up with? And you know, how does that go back and forth based on your experience?
Well, you know, first of all, I have to understand, you know, what my role is here. Is my role to justify their number, or is my role to maximize your position? Some people don't want, you know, they have a number, they just want it to be justified to pass this there. Others want to maximize the position, and, you know, am I here to, you know, come up with the most aggressive value and support that from, you know, whatever perspective it is to position, or is it to just justify the number that they bid? You know, because it comes from two different perspectives. It's, you know, you know, how aggressive do you want to look at it, or how conservative do you want to look at it? Valuation is not an exact science. It has ranges of value. There are, you know, a plus or minus a certain percentage, you know, down the middle of the road, and you could kind of veer one way or veer another way. And I can tell you that, you know, looking at the Aquarian's bid, that, you know, their bid is you know, a very conservative number. They probably could step it up a little bit, but, you know, there's some different nuances and stuff to look at. But it just depends on what, you know, my role would be. And that's something that, you know, will be defined over time. And we're prepared to participate in any capacity.
Good point. Good point. You know, again, we only have their number to start with, but, you know, certainly I'm concerned about what is the true value of our system, not only now, but going forward. And that's a big part of the regionalization effort, which unfortunately did not get to those numbers at the end, which is part of the reason why that fell apart.
Say that again one more time. I missed the end part of that. What was that, Jack?
I said at the end of the regionalization process, one of the things that was missing was valuation. Okay. You know, when we talked about the cost to participate, those numbers did not come across. So, you know, there were numbers about what might be saved, but not about what each company, each town would have to contribute. So, you know, there's a lot to take into consideration here other than just their number. Of course, you know, I'd like to see, first of all, is that a reasonable number? You know, again, as I said, they've done their due diligence as part of their first step in negotiation. We have to do the same thing on our end. But I do view that it would be a negotiation at the end of the day, not just saying, well, that number makes sense or it doesn't make sense. You know, there's got to be something to take.
Mark,
you know, one of the...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, one of the things you have to sit back and think about is what is Aquarian buying? You know, what are they purchasing here? And you know, what most utilities or utility related companies or independent, you know, IOUs, independent owner utilities, is that they're buying a cash flow. So that's really what it comes down to at the end of the day is the cash flow. And, you know, while the cash flows are X today, they're going to be Y and Z after the first and second rate cases. So that's really what their objective is. That's what they're looking to go for is the rate cases and bumping them up and going from there. And when you value a company like this or utility like this, it, you know, it's not really what is the value of the assets right now. It's being able to jump in and play the game. And there's a pay to play, you know, you got to get in. There's not too many systems, you know, there are systems out there for sale, but you're fighting over them and people are fighting that, you know, there's groups of people that own these types of, there's municipal, you know, government owned utilities that own these things. There's investor owned utilities. And guess what? There's a third player in the market now, private equity groups that are buying these types of systems. So, you know, there's more than two players out there. There's a third player that comes in the marketplace and these guys are playing hard. They're bidding big numbers for these types of assets. And, you know, I think that, you know, those things, you know, you want to consider, you want to get, you know, what this value of this system is, you know, not today, but what it's going to develop into. And, you know, you're losing the right to play and operate this particular utility, but they're gaining a cash flow coming in. And that cash flow grows based on the rate base. And as there's more development in the rate base, that gets bigger, it steamrolls and it becomes something, you know, it grows into a nice project or a nice, you know, entity that they own. And that's what they do is they keep putting these together and putting together as many as they can. They get this big snowball going and it keeps growing and getting bigger. You know, that needs to be considered and taken into consideration when you value these things. Or if you tell me to temper it down that we don't want to consider those things, then you know, we take it out and we look at just what's there and value the assets with there. So, you know, there's a wide range of a scope of work to take a look at and understand here. And, you know, I don't have my heart set on one way or another. I talk with my clients and I understand what their game plan is and their perspective. And then I set a scope of work. And from there, you know, we develop our work from that scope of work and we approach it from that way. So I'm just kind of throwing out both ends of the spectrum here you know, to you, and you know, we could talk if we go forward, we could talk and figure out which lane we want to operate in, and then we develop our analysis based on that.
Mark, do you need that direction prior to giving a price and a more detailed proposal?
No, I don't. I mean, I know in my mind here already, you know, that you know what it's going to take to do something like this. But you know, I do have some questions and some piece of information I'd like to see and get our hands on and you know, kind of digest a little bit. But these projects are relatively, you know, similar. I've valued, you know, many utility systems for municipalities, so I'm familiar with them and familiar with, you know, how to go about approaching it. I know what it's going to take as far as you know, what it's going to take to do an income model and put the income analysis together, what it's going to do to, you know, take to research the comps, and a lot of the comps I put, you know, some together today. I probably spent too much time prepared for this than not enough time, so I'm quite excited about it. And you know, I know what it's going to take pretty much to do a project like this. But you know, it's always nice to get some more information and you know, confirm the position that we're looking at. But the Black and Veatch information, I got that. I've researched stuff on the internet. Jack, there's a lot of stuff on you out there, a lot of press releases and comments out there on the facility. So I see a lot of information on the city, and I've looked at some of the DEEP reports and, you know, looked at everything I get my hands on. I went through the 2014 project where you had asked the people when they were voting on how to you know, lay out the projects there through you know, through the referendum for the capital project. So, you know, understanding all those aspects is something that, you know, I've kind of studied up on over the past couple of days and prepared for this. So I think I'm a pretty good, you know, I bid these projects all the time. I participate in them, so I have a good idea where it's going to be.
Hey, Mark, it's almost a silly question, but, you know, most of the other projects involve a product that people think of as a real value, and our product is one that they kind of tend to avoid and only think about it if the bill comes.
Well, you know, they avoid it to the extent, Jack, that they want to flush their toilets every day, right?
Yeah, but it's not as though, you know, the power does this and the water does that. This is the other end of the spectrum for people, but I would assume it shouldn't make any difference at all in the valuation, even going forward, because we have an income stream too.
Yeah, you have an income stream, and you know, that's what these people want. That's what Aquarium wants. They want that income stream. They want to get that no matter what you purchase. If it's a pizzeria or a power plant or Dunkin' Donuts, you want to get that power, that cash flow. That's what you're looking to purchase. You know, Aquarium, I formerly Northeast Utilities. I've worked with them in the past when I was, you know, Northeast Utilities years ago. You know, they've gone on to what I think become Eversource and Aquarium. So, you know, I had to look up to see, you know, every time I turn my back, the companies change names. You know, it's hard to sometimes follow them, who they are sometimes or who they originally were.
Yeah. Other questions?
Yeah, Mark, John here. So when you talk about the different approach to the assets, like for example, well, the simple one is what is it worth now? You know, a point in time, and then what moving forward, looking forward from an income approach. What is it worth? I'm sure that Aquarian is using that model, I imagine, the income approach, because that's how they're planning their cash flow, and it's got to be worth something for them. But do you use a combination of these in your approach to valuing the system?
We do. We do all three approaches to value. We'll do a cost approach. We'll do an income approach. We'll do a market approach, and then we'll reconcile them there. To your comment there about Aquarian. Aquarian has two income approach models. They have the one that they bid and they're trying to get you to sell, and they have another one that they're giving to management that shows what it is after the first two rate case studies they're done, and they bump up in rates. So, that is going to look night and day. They're going to show something that's significantly different. And I just went through a case like this in Bullhead City, Arizona, earlier this year. I was actually set to testify, and the case settled 4 days before trial. We prepped and got everything all ready and everything for that, and then 4 days before trial, it settled. But this is almost the same. I took a look at the 2020 audited financials here for your system, and the values were very similar to in the same order of magnitude as Bullhead City was. Bullhead City was water, not wastewater, but overall water and wastewater follow the same path and very similar in the valuation method. So, these types of systems, they have value, and you have to look at them from the right perspective. But to answer your question, John, we will look at all of the approaches to value, and we'll consider the analyses. And at the end of the day, we will go through and come up with a cost approach value, an income approach value, a market approach value, and then we go through a reconciliation process. And based on the data, the information, we put weightings on them. So, 50% weight on this approach, or 25% on this one, 25% on this, and depending on the comfort level we have and the level of information, the data that gives us the expertise to be able to rely on one approach versus another, or a blending of the approaches.
Yeah. This is Anita. I have an observation. It's refreshing to hear that you do this often and you know your business, definitely. I mean, I just picked out of your list in Illinois. I went on the website for the East St. Louis. They're a small city. And it's funny how you ask a question to privatize, but then it opens up so many different avenues, and that's what's happening today. To know what our system is actually valued at is a very important information. So even that in itself is great. And then the investment part in the future, you never know. Would you do marketing to an investment company? I mean, do you ever do that, or is that up to the city it's opening up my mind to so many different things right now. And I agree with you that Aquarian lowballed it tremendously, because we have brand new pump stations. So I know the value of our sewer system is so much more. It's refreshing. I'm getting excited just listening to you, and your business, and it's a great thing. So my question basically is, now that we know the value, of our system, could we put it out to the market? Is that how it works, or is it that's like too crazy? I mean, I don't know. I'm just stretching
my... It's not too crazy. It's not too crazy. You want to maximize your value. I mean, how committed are you to Aquarian's bid? Is something that I don't know, legal perspective of how you bid. I don't know how you bid that or how it's set up with them. But, to me, these water systems and wastewater systems are coveted properties. They're coveted assets. I have clients, when I say the utilities that call me all the time, hey, Have you any direction? You heard anybody that's selling anything, or anybody's looking for stuff? Commonly happens. I have marketing and development people for American Water calling me, or Southwest Water, or Suburban Water, and these are the types of assets that I know that they're looking for. But you have to look to see whose infrastructure, who's got people in play in Connecticut or in New York or in surrounding areas that would participate. But there's others that they come and they participated in those projects. And then you have a whole nother group that stands behind them that it's X, Y, and Z company. They're a fairly large company, but you know, standing behind them is Chase Bank, and Chase Bank's got a lot of money, and they say, you know, they're telling these guys, hey, you got to win these projects no matter what. I'm seeing 30%, 40% premiums paid on these things. So, you know, do you want to put it out to bid, again, or advertise it, or hire a private, they have organizations that you can hire that'll go and market this, or do you want to self-market it yourself and advertise, you know, different ways? There's many different possibilities out there.
You're right.
You know, but you do have an asset that is a coveted asset.
Okay. And Connecticut has many regulations. I'm sure there's only certain people that can do business. I mean, there's still a lot of unanswered questions. And I see this as a two-part, not one right after the other, maybe years in between. You know, it just is expanding the whole project for me, you know, looking at it this way too. So just thank you for your information.
You know, one of the things too is that you would think that, oh, well, if I had a great running system that would be more attractive. And the answer is actually the opposite. Yours is a more attractive system. And the reason is that the utilities have access to money to find, you know, the money to fund projects. And, you know, if you think about it, when they do these regulated utilities, they get a rate of return. So, you know, like I said, the cash flow, the more money they put into it, you know, I think that what they say, $32 million on top of the 18, that 30, that's this piece of cake, that they want that because they're going to get the 7 or 8% return every year on that. Think about if you took money and put it in the bank, you're not going to get 7 or 8% a year, but these people are going to have guaranteed 7 or 8% on that $30 million for a long time. And they're going to keep putting money into the system, and they're going to keep, you know, trying to make it grow. And that's what they do.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Let the record show that Chris Carloni is just joining us, the committee member.
One of the issues, I think it's just, this is an interesting conversation that Anita has brought up about, you know, you know, putting it out to bid. One of the issues, of course, we have is that time is a bit of the essence. Our pump stations are new, but our plant is very deteriorated and needs a lot of work. So, you know, I we're probably not in a position to put millions of dollars. Otherwise, I mean, when we went out to our referendum, the referendum was what, $32 million, but we really needed $60 million in work to be done. But, and you know, and Deep wanted us to make that commitment, but we just couldn't do it. So, so I think time is important here. Would you agree, Jack?
Absolutely. We're still under audits from Deep. So, you know, we have a plan that was just revised. Well, now it's 2 years, and Deep is just waiting for us to get through this process, but they will be back. They will definitely be back to make sure that we finish this
process. Hey, Jack, did the referendum, you got, I saw it was $31,240,000. Did you spend all of that? Did you do all of those projects, all what, 6 or 7 projects that were listed there?
No, we've spent about $17 million. Actually, that's second part of the agenda, going over some of the numbers. But no, we haven't touched the plant itself. Okay. We did all the pump stations and some of the other work, but the pump station itself has been on hold, not because of us. The pump station has been on hold because Deep didn't want us to be spending any money on that project until the regionalization study was done. And, you know, that makes sense. Why would you put money into something that would have to be changed as soon as you're done? So that's why, you know, if we are to go forward with this, that becomes another piece of the puzzle, paying back what we borrowed so far and how that would affect. And that's part of the reason for the $16 million, because Aquarian already figured out.
The Black and Beach plan that talks about, you know, converting your treatment facility into a conveyance station or pump station to push it through to the next town and you know, put it in the pipeline. Is that a done deal? Is that a directive that you're doing that? Or is that an option? Or is that not something? I'm just curious on that, because that was one of the questions I had.
It's dead, period. Dead.
Okay. No, you're free to do whatever you want then.
Well, subject to DEEP.
Sure.
DEEP is just hauling off now, waiting until we get through this privatization. But they're not going to wait forever. Okay. If we don't do something this way, then we have to go back to the plant and give them well, we actually have a plan. If you go back, we had to submit a new plan that they've accepted, but they've never approved. Actually, it's a revised plan that they accepted and never approved while they wait for this. Okay. So, you know, that's what we're looking.
You can't let Aquarian know that you're under pressure, you know, from the other side. You got to give them a vision that you got a little bit of time if there's a way that you could get that, you know, to push off, because you want them to be under pressure, not you.
Yeah, I'm actually less worried about Aquarian than I am our plant. So, in my opinion, if it's needed, we're going to make improvements to our plant while we're still talking with Aquarian. And those conversations can adjust as far as I'm concerned, because that plant needs to stay up and running, and it's hurting. You know, just as John mentioned, it's not, you know, it needs help. So.
Yeah, one of the questions that had come up, or one of the things in the RFP process, you know, was talking about, you know, rate base and calculating rate base. And but obviously, if you, you know, if money needs to be spent on the plant, you would spend it now, and then, you know, would that money be able to go into the rate base dollar for dollar? And that would be something that would be favorable to Aquarian just to pick it up, because if you put in $5 million and then they get to pay you back the $5 million, that $5 million of theirs goes into the rate base and gets a 7 or 8% return next year. So I'm sure that if you're able to, you know, talk to the Department of Public Utilities, whoever's going to be overseeing that, if you have to put money into it, would that be considered, you know, can they look at that favorably the same way as if, a purchaser, which is an investor-owned utility, you know, would put money into it? If that's the case, then, you know, it gives you a little more time in there. You would do the work, and they just pick it up as part of their rate base next year or the year after. You know, that would just be something that had to be discussed with the DPU to, you know, have those costs picked up that direction.
Yeah. You know, we're at the point now where basically, you know, as I said before, they've done their due diligence. They've got the price that they would like to get, understanding that everything is negotiable. We don't, okay? We don't have that. And that's why we need to come up with evaluation using, I think, all the factors that you've discussed. And then a negotiation would start, or, you know, we've raised another issue today. Maybe if we came back with evaluation, we decide, well, this isn't the deal for us at all. We need to do something else. Or, you know, the other option, which is still on the table, is that we just walk away from all this and we do this ourselves. I mean, that's still very possible outcome of this whole thing. So I like that idea
the best, you know, for me, because I think you got a good asset here, and I think that you guys will benefit from owning it. But, you know, that's, I guess you guys have been running with the assets and the headaches of it and trying to get it up, but you know, trying to keep it running. You know, some people like, you know, that the rush and to get the system up and running and stuff. So, but question for you, if you spent $17 or $18 million of the referendum money, and they're offering $18 million, they're basically paying you that money to buy those pump stations, but there's not really recognizing the infrastructure and the other assets that were there, or the entrance for them to pay to get into the game here, because you're giving them an access to become a monopoly utility here, but it doesn't seem like you're getting reimbursed for that opportunity.
Well, that's why, you know, we haven't made any decisions. We're doing our due diligence, considering all that. We're not making any hasty decisions, believe me.
I appreciate that. I just, these are some of the things I saw and, you know, I think about, and that, you know, I wanted just to, you know, bring up is that, that's why I wanted to know, if they paid you the $18 million, and those bonds that they have in their presentation that you paid down for 14, is that the same thing as the referendum money that people were supposed to pay $256 a year for the next 20 years?
Yep.
And that was for the full amount. That was calculated.
Yeah, that was the full amount. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, and look, our bottom line is we have an obligation to the citizens of Derby. That's our obligation, to get the best possible deal for them, the best price. And again, if that's us continuing to operate the plant, then that's what we'll do. Okay. In fact, I think that's almost the starting option. And the others are things that we would look at that would have to be better than that. Not a little bit. They'd have to be better than that. So,
but Jack,
Anita, you have your hand up. Let me go to Anita because I think she's got her hand up.
Oh.
Anita, is that you there?
Yeah, I just did that by mistake, but I did have a question. I think Furrion did not want to buy the property. Is that
right?
Did I remember right? Yeah, I think they're just using the plant and they're not owning the land. I think. I'm not sure. That's what it.
Right.
Thank
That's
you.
Right. They would be leasing it from the city.
Correct.
Okay. Which is smart on their part because they don't want any environmental liabilities taken out.
That's right.
I guess, Jack, when we talked about going forward ourselves, I mean, I didn't see that as a viable option as we talked because of, you know, we'd have to go out and bond for so much more money.
Oh, I agree. You know, but I'm just saying that's our starting point. Anything else has to be better than that. And, you know, privatization didn't turn out to be better than that. So now we're looking to see if regionalization didn't turn out to be better. So we're seeing if privatization could be better.
Well, maybe, you know, I think Mark's, you know, thought here that he's got a lot of experience. He feels that the asset is valuable and that there might be some other options for us to go get a better deal because, hey, cash flow is king. And that's what these big organizations love. And they know it's going to grow. I guess Mike, and he answered, I think Mark, you answered a question that I had, which is, what is your experience with these people that come in, they in privatization, they buy the plant and the equipment, and do they end up putting investment money into the capital improvements of these properties? I think you said yes.
Yeah, the answer is yes, because that's the key, is that their backers, their investors are putting money into their to the investor owned utility and they're putting it in there to get a return on their investment. So there's lots of cash that's available for these utilities to invest in these properties. And the more they invest, the more return they get. They just have to wait, you know, they have to wait out 2 or 3 years to get a rate case to jump it up. So they're running it as a profitable business with a rate of return on there. If you're going to maintain the system and run it, you need to put a different hat on and run it as if you were an investor-owned utility. And then, you know, if you do that, then you could turn it into a powerhouse and maintain it. But, you know, you got to be able to weather the storm of the beginning part of that of you know, bonding out, you know, the project and getting it set. You know, you said before you had 60 million, you only got 30. Well, you know, you got to get to 60 and you got to get that initial start of the initial kick. And, you know, it might be that instead of doing a privatization, you do a PPP, a private partner position where you do a joint venture with somebody like Aquarian or somebody like that. There's a lot of different creative ideas that are out there. It just really depends on you know how knowledgeable or educated you are in those different areas. But there's ways to become very creative or very basic and plain vanilla in this situation. You know, I don't know if you guys just want to, hey, this thing's a turd, excuse the pun there, but you're just going to get rid of it, or do you want to try to shine it up and make it look good and make some money while you're doing it? So, you know, it could be either way, depending on you know, how aggressive you are, how you look at it, and how you were able to package it up and make the third look good and sell it. Because having the money, having the situation where it needs money into it, makes it that much more attractive to these guys, because the more money they put into it, the more return they get off of it.
Plus, they get the depreciation too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they get depreciation off of this, and right now we got one or two more years of 100% bonus depreciation from Trump's bonus depreciation, but then it steps down. You get 80% bonus depreciation, then 60, then 40, and 20, and then it goes right back to the regular depreciation. So yes, there's depreciation plays a big factor into this as well. And I've seen people buy systems that are tremendously, they have overspent the whole process. It looks negative, but then when you calculate the federal tax depreciation benefits in there, it turns it up, makes it a positive investment. So it'd be nice if you can get a couple more players in there to make, the bidder is a little bit more honest and also, if there was a government-owned utility that would be interested in your system, that usually raises the stakes. Like if there was a GOU next door, next town over that wanted to buy your system and they're bidding against Aquarian, then there's a real good play involved there, because they have to, if they're interested in the system, they got to jump up and they have different, they don't have the same tax consequences as the other municipality. And that becomes a very good play for you in selling, because the value then skyrockets if you could get that. But I don't know if anybody's interested in the surrounding areas that would be interested in buying your system, but that, is always an option there as well.
Let me just make two comments. One, our investors are our ratepayers, okay? And, it's different when you have a profit motive as opposed to making sure you cover your costs. There is a difference there. And yeah, the other thing that's become obvious, and the reason why we're going through this process, is we don't have enough information on our end to make any kind of decision now. And that was the purpose of this meeting, not to get into making those decisions, because we can't make any decisions until we have enough information to make an intelligent decision. So I think the idea for tonight was to talk to Mark and make sure that we're all comfortable that he and his company are qualified to do this work. And if we feel that way, then the next step is to invite them to submit a proposal.
I certainly think that's where we're at. We don't have the information. This conversation has been really helpful. I think Anita mentioned it opened our eyes a little bit, and I'm kind of feeling the same way to maybe some other possibilities, but we need to get to that point. We definitely need to get to that point. And as far as us doing some things, ourselves, and as far as we don't look at it as from profitability standpoint, but you know what? Maybe we need to, because here's the thing: we need cash throw up. We need to get that cash rolling so that it helps help provide funding for future projects, and it bolsters our reserve, which is what that's for.
Yeah, that's a reserve. The difference from a profit where the company right. distributes profits to their stockholders. Where our stockholders are our
right.
Our right.
Yeah, I do think that's a different conversation, different time. Yeah. But in general, I know personally, I feel comfortable with Mark and MRV. So I don't know. Do we need a formal motion?
Yeah, I was trying to speed this along by asking for a motion to approve that Mark and his company are qualified, because that was the RFQ. It was request for qualifications, so that we certify he's qualified and invite him to submit a formal proposal. That's the motion I'd like to see on the floor.
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion?
So I just... Charlie Sampson and Mark, first of all, I don't speak a lot during these because I'm not a a waste plant person. I let the experts do that. But I sit on the board of aldermen, alderwomen with Ms. Dugato, and we're just kind of in this mix to try to make sure that the citizens of Derby, same as everybody else, but kind of like watching that. As we move this forward, Mark, I just want to make sure that, you know, a lot of things came out tonight. I think what the city is asking for is for you to maximize our position. And then if it is decided that we need to have a better talk with whomever we choose to, if we go out to bid and privatize it, we would need assistance from you to support the position that you gave us. So someone to sit at the table and say, hey, listen, you know, you guys appraised this piece of equipment for 10 grand. I'm saying it's worth 12. Mm-hmm. And this is why I'm saying it's worth 12. Cause obviously we don't have that, that skill. And, you know, your resume was phenomenal in my books. And just listening to you tonight, I think that, you know, we can't go wrong with hiring your company, but I just want you to feel comfortable that that's kind of what we're looking at right now, figuring out what this thing costs and having somebody to support us in the future when we go in the direction that we go.
And that I feel that, you know, I'm very uniquely qualified to do that. I'm looking forward to this opportunity. I know that I could provide a lot of positive value here, and I could help you maximize the position here. But recognizing exactly where the value is, I can reverse engineer whatever they give you as far as the number and let you know where they're hiding stuff or moving stuff around and where they should be more forthcoming or they're not giving enough credit for certain things. I can look at it from that perspective and also, you know, give you an understanding, you know, what their position is, because I work on that side as well. So I understand, from both sides, both perspectives.
All right. Any other comments or questions? All right. Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? Okay. So we're moving forward. Mark, we're asking you to submit a formal proposal. Now, I have to explain to the committee as well. We would have to have another meeting, okay, when Mark submits to review. Right. And I would also ask Dennis legally to review it. And then it's my understanding that we would be making a recommendation that I think is going to the Board of Aldermen to approve the funding to do this. Because, you know, as a committee, we have no money. We don't even have staff. We don't have anything. So I think the next step, after we get it from Mark and we do our review, we make the recommendation back to you, Charlie. And you probably will work with the Board of Apportionment and Taxation to authorize this. And that's why I was anxious to get this meeting tonight, because this stuff is getting time sensitive. The regionalization dragged on too long. We can't spend 3 years on this. We have to come up with some kind of a decision on our direction, whatever that is. And, you know, at this point, I don't know what that is, but we have to keep moving forward. These things can't take 3 years anymore. So those would be the next steps. So, Mark, do you have a time frame? Because when we get your proposal, I may ask this committee to come back for a special meeting to review it, so that this recommendation can go to the Board of Aldermen.
What is the next meeting there, Jack? When is the next meeting? Or when do you need it by, I guess, would be. It'll take me, I can have it done, the latest Monday of next week, because it gives. I like to have the weekend to kind of break, you know, go through it.
We technically meet every 2 weeks.
Okay.
So, I don't know, the other people on the committee, are you comfortable with waiting for the next meeting?
Yeah, I am. I want Mark to rush.
Okay.
Yeah, and Mark, I'd rather you take that little bit extra time in case when you're preparing, like I feel that you're confident in, you know, your experience and everything. But if you have specific questions that will help you with the proposal, I'd rather you have that time to then reach out to us so we can get back to you with the correct information.
Sure. I said, Jack, I can get it to you by Monday of next week. That's what I was going for, going over the weekend. Just at least give me the weekend to kind of think through, but I know you have a meeting in 2 weeks, but I probably get it, I will get it to you by the latest Monday of next week, if that works for everybody.
That would be fine, and then I'll share it with the committee, particularly Dennis, to do any kind of legal review on it. So when it goes to the Board of Aldermen, he can weigh in with legal advice on it to make sure, you know, people are going to have questions about contracts and whatnot. So he'll do that due diligence on his end. But, you know, we'll have to make the recommendation to the Board of Aldermen. So my suggestion is now that we would do that at our next meeting, which is 2 weeks from tonight.
Okay. And my proposal will be made out to the authority, correct? The WPCA, correct?
I think you can just make it the City of Derby Privatization Committee. WPCA.
Okay, City of Derby.
City of Derby WPCA Privatization Committee.
Privatization Committee, okay.
And, you know, you can send it to attention to myself and probably the mayor, too.
Okay. Yeah, I can go through it in draft to make sure I'm addressed to the right group, and then you can let me know, and then I can make it the final. Pass it. You guys take a look at it, and then make sure I'm addressing. I don't want to misspell anybody's name or the right, you know, name or anything. So I'll send it. I can send it to you, Jackie. You take a look at it.
Right, and if you have any questions, make sure everything. Yeah, just give me a call, and you know, our staff at WPCA has been excellent throughout the regionalization process, getting information back. And, you know, the finance director is on the committee either. So if you have any questions there, we can get it. You know, my concern is always that this is an open process. People in town have to see that we're not doing anything behind closed doors. It's all open, available to the public at all times. So. Looking forward.
Okay. Yeah, no, I look forward to this. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm excited about this, and that, you know, I will work on preparing the proposal. And, you know, Jack, expect some questions from me. And, you know, I'm looking for, you know, financials. I found 2020 audited financials online and looking for 21, or at least I saw Aquarian had a footnote in there. They used the estimated draft financials or something preparing their bid. I think there was a footnote number one I saw. I forget how they phrased it, but you know, there is some information. I could put together a list that would be nice to see some of that data. And if anything is confidential beyond, you know, prepare the proposal, you just let me know and we'll do our thing. And then, you know, we could do the NDA or confidentiality agreement or whatever you want to, however you guys want to set up to release the next wave of data after that. But right, you know, that'll be.
Yeah. The city audit is not finalized yet, even though I think they're within a week. The WPCA audit was finalized, okay, and the committee has seen it, but it also is part of the bigger city audit. But WPCA part was done a couple of months ago.
Okay. So. Who's the auditors?
I forget what their name is now. John Acabal is our auditor. The company's name has changed a few times, so...
okay.
It's the same as the cities. Same as the cities.
Gotcha. Okay. Perfect. All right.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate this. I look forward to this. Is this the time I drop off the call and you guys continue on with the rest of your meeting?
Okay.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys. Thanks, moving your meeting around for me to participate and listen. But I will drop off at this time, and I thank you guys. I look forward to talking with you and working with you, hopefully in the near future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, the other item on the agenda is talking about the bonding. And, you know, I wish Maria and Agata were here, but, you know, I just sent you an updated report from the bond consul or the bond broker. And it's this part is really just showing you, you know, where we already are. I'm not an accountant or whatnot, so it looks pretty familiar to what we've seen. I will tell you, we borrowed so far $16.1 million, I think, and we have a ban, and, you know, this is beyond my financial scope, bond anticipation note for $3 million that we don't need at this point in time. Okay, so to my understanding, that's why I wish Maria was here, that instead of borrowing this whole $3 million now under the ban. We're going to pay back $1 million in two. This is in August. You know, this will all come out as we move forward. But, you know, I'm not going to give you a briefing on this report because it's beyond my scope of expertise. So, but it's all there with the payment schedule. You've already seen this part of it. But, you know, there is some new stuff down at the end. I had hoped that the bond council would be here, but Dennis, you know, is on vacation. So maybe next time we can have that as well. I don't think there's any real rush on this. So I don't know if anybody has any questions about it.
I don't have any questions about that, Jack, but I just a question about the proposal about from Mark's company. When, you know, when we get that proposal, as you mentioned, the next step would be to present this to the Board of Aldermen, I think is what we have to talk about.
The next step is for us to approve and recommend. Right.
But then the body we would go to is the Board of Aldermen.
That's what I've been told.
Well, okay. Is there, and I don't know, I guess this might be a leap step forward and maybe not appropriate question, but it's just a thought that did we anticipate what the question is going to be concerning who's going to pay for this?
Yeah, I've been asking that. The question of you know, whether it should be the city or should WPCA pay for it. And at this point, the city is the beneficiary here of anything that comes out of this, not WPCA. So, from talking to Walt, he said it will go to the Board of Aldermen first. And again, you know, the city attorney may weigh in on that. And actually, Dennis is part of that firm too. So, you know, he'll review everything as well, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But, you know, this committee itself has no resources. Okay. We don't even have a staff person. Okay. So, you know, somebody is going to have to come to the aid of this committee. Let me leave it at that. So. All right. Anything else? Well, hearing none, I guess I ask for a motion to adjourn with the idea that we'll be meeting again in 2 weeks. It is still 2 weeks, second and fourth of the Monday.
So moved, Charlie Sampson.
Okay, do I hear a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Well, there is none on the agenda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Okay, we are adjourned. Let me stop this recording.